The first kiss is very powerful and meaningful. All the fairy tales know this. Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, and so on. But how is the story of Pentecost related to kissing? Some say that the first kiss recorded in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2, when God breathed into life the human being Adam. And here is the first experience of a mouth-to-mouth encounter. Indeed, this is often called the kiss of life. And in the gospel reading, which Deacon Stephen just read for us, we have another example of this, that just as God called Adam into being, when Jesus breathes on the apostles and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," this is the kiss of the resurrection. This is the kiss of being restored. This is the kiss of new life. For you, for me, for us as Christians, our baptism is, well, so to speak, the first kiss. Our baptism is when Jesus, the bridegroom, kisses each one of us because we are his bride. The sacrament of baptism is that sacrament that makes us members of the church, and it's tied to Pentecost Sunday as we think about how this baptismal kiss is tied to the gift of the Holy Spirit. To be made members of Christ through baptism is a beautiful thing. But you know what can happen? Just how in any relationship between two humans, where it started out being deep and passionate and full, we can kind of separate from one another. The same thing can happen in our Christian life. So I want to ask you this morning, how close are you to the bridegroom? Do you know the kiss of your beloved? Do you understand these words from Pope Benedict XVI that he wrote in 2008? Our life now belongs to Christ and no longer to ourselves. At his side, and indeed drawn up in his love, we are freed from fear. He enfolds us and carries us wherever we may go. He who is life itself. Isn't that a tender image? Drawn up and enfolded in the loving arms of Jesus, our true love. Now, maybe you've fallen in love. Do you remember when you fell in love? And your life was no longer just about you. Your life was now so focused on this one that maybe had kissed you. This one to whom your heart is now turned. Do you know that whenever we fall in love with a human person, that is a foretaste of what God wants for us for all of eternity? And so, where are you today in your love relationship with Jesus Christ? Where are you today in living out the beauty of your baptism as you discover what it is to be enfolded by God's love and then to be enabled by the Holy Spirit to live in such a way that you know that you truly belong to Christ? I love how this is portrayed in the early Christian community. I love Peter before Easter. He's full of bravado. He's full of himself. "Lord, I'll even die with you. They might all forsake you, but not me." What a different Peter we have after Easter, and particularly after Pentecost. What had happened to Peter? He began to open his heart to Jesus. He allowed the bridegroom to kiss him. Isn't that kind of what happened at that breakfast on the shore where they were cooking fish? And Jesus asked, "Peter, do you love me?" Three times he asked, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know everything." And what about James and John? Remember what Jesus called them when he was with them? Sons of thunder. Oh, those boys. They had bravado. They had courage. But they were also afraid. But I love what John writes in his first letter. Many years later, he's now an old man, maybe in his 80s. And listen what he had discovered because he had allowed Jesus to kiss him. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casts out fear. This is one of the clearest discoveries made by people who come to profess that Jesus is their beloved Lord. They enter into a relationship of intimacy with Jesus. And they're discovering evermore what it means to be part of his body, to be interdependent one upon another. And indeed, in that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, it's so clearly stated when St. Luke writes, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Now, that doesn't just mean they were in one place. Although it does mean that, it means they were of one mind, one heart. I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine, a fellow priest who lives in Arizona, wrote to me and he said, I had an email exchange with a friend of mine. At the end of the email, my friend said to me, I will see you at Mass. Now, I don't remember where this friend lived, but it wasn't in Arizona, another part of the United States. But of course, what he meant was when you go to Mass and I go to Mass, we'll be at Mass together, so I'll see you at Mass. Where did the first Mass happen? In the upper room, the cenacle. Where did Pentecost happen? In the upper room and the cenacle. And this is the beautiful thing about our Catholic faith. It doesn't matter where we are in the world, we are joined together. A woman was sharing with me a couple of weeks ago an experience she had of the Mass during these days when the Mass is being live streamed. She's Hungarian, and she was born in Hungary and grew up in Hungary, but to go to church in Hungary could result in you losing your job. So although she was baptized, her parents never took her to church because they were afraid of what the repercussions would be. Well, she moved to Canada early in the 2000s, and she has had a spiritual awakening within the last couple of years. And she was sharing with me how it's been such a blessing for her to be here in Calgary, to sign on and be in Hungary, and to hear the Mass in her native tongue. Isn't that beautiful? And it brings this connection. In these weeks where we have been living in a way apart from Jesus, there's another thing that we feel. I just want to be kissed by him again. I just want to receive the Eucharist. What can be more intimate than receiving God on your lips and into your mouth and into your body? It is the most intimate way in which God can come to us in this world. Now, I imagine in heaven, there'll be ways of intimacy that here we cannot even begin to imagine. But what Jesus wants to do, he wants to enfold us. He wants to embrace us. He wants to love us. And remember I said a couple of minutes ago that when we fall in love, do we keep that love to ourselves? I don't think so. More often than not, we want to share it. We want to go out and say, oh, I found the guy, I found the gal. It's the same at the Mass, that having experienced the kiss of Jesus, we are to go out into the world. In an apostolic exhortation that he wrote, Pope Benedict said the following, that the last words of the Mass in Latin are, ite missa est, which means, go, it has been sent. And in this writing, he points out how early on, missa, from the word dismissed, came to be one's mission. And I'll quote him here. Early on, missa simply meant dismissal. However, in Christian usage, it gradually took on a deeper meaning. The word dismissal has come to imply a mission. So Jesus wants to encounter you. He wants you to encounter him at the Mass. He doesn't want this to be some sort of indifferent exchange. He wants your full attention because he wants you. And as we now look forward to tomorrow and coming back together as the body of Christ, we will reaffirm what Paul said in today's epistle, for just as the one body has many members, and all the members are many, though part of the one body. One of the hardest things about these COVID days is, while St. Peter's being quiet and for the most part empty. I've had such a longing in my heart to welcome the community back, just as you've had a longing in your heart to receive Jesus again. So we've had a kind of mutual longing. I've thankfully been able to receive the Eucharist every day because I'm a priest. And I want us to know that although the mission of the church is universal, it is primarily local. And so if you're a member of St. Peter's Parish, the primary place where you are to fall in love again with Jesus, the bridegroom, is here at St. Peter's. And it's from here that you are to extend his mission out into the world. And so this is my prayer. This is my hope. That here at St. Peter's, the seeds of grace are germinating. And they've been germinating in your lives over these last weeks, these last 10, 12 weeks when we've been apart, in ways that perhaps only you know. But as these seeds of grace are germinating, they are wanting to form more and more a community here at St. Peter's, where there's just a sense that these people know that they're loved and that they love Jesus. And so it's my hope, it's my prayer, it's my desire that you will come to know more deeply the lover, and his name is Jesus. So that in the world with him, you will have this longing. Having experienced the kiss of the Mass, you'll therefore want to live the Mass's mission in the world. And what is that mission? It's to extend the love of him who is love and has enfolded us in his everlasting embrace. This, my friends, my beloved, this is the kiss of life. This is the kiss that, when experienced, will inspire you and me to return again and again to the greatest kisser of them all, Jesus Christ.